Good evening and welcome to Atlantic Tales on Clare FM. On today's show, I'll be visiting two more County Clare businesses and learn about soap and home fragrance production. Later, we'll hear from the founders of Wicks and Wax Ireland, based in Ennis and established last year in the midst of the pandemic. First, though, we're off to Tomb Grainy in East Clare. Kathy and Tony Hoynes operate Palm Free Irish Soap, a small family business with a strong commitment to sustainability and zero waste. Their journey began in 1996 after moving to Ireland from England. They first established Galunock, Ireland's first handmade soap company, which later evolved into Palm Free Irish Soap. They now produce handmade Irish soap without the use of palm oil or any palm oil derivatives. Tony Hoynes takes up the story.
Goes back to basically to 1996 when we moved from Luton, England, to Ireland. In England, we had a fast-paced business where we'd done lots of office cleaning. We had 48 employees, and we really moved to Ireland for a quieter, easier lifestyle. Moved in 1996. Having moved here, Kathy was itching to do something, was looking at different products and realised that on looking at a bar of soap, that it contained lots of chemical ingredients, and she'd done a bit of research to find out what they were and decided at that time she could probably do something better. So that's how the journey began.
What were the first steps though? Because you're coming a long way obviously and you're producing so many different products. What was the first step in getting into the business and to production?
Basically a little bit of research, and don't forget now, back in those days there wasn't the internet, there was now. So it was a trip into Limerick, into O'Mahony's, where Kathy found a book on soap making, basic soap making. Done a lot of reading and then started producing small batches of soap, which in the early days were, some of them were unrecognisable as soap, but she persevered, carried on. And coincidentally, we did a small exhibition in the West County Hotel. Way back when, we were invited along by the Enterprise office to do it. It was only a hobby at the time. Did a small exhibition there. People were interested in the product, very interested in how it was made. And before we knew it, we ended up doing Showcase Ireland. And from there, it kind of just sprouted and grew. That was it. We then formed a company called Galunock, which our daughter told us was the Irish word for soap at the time. And we started this business called Galunock, and we just kept making soap. There was nothing really like it in Ireland at the time. We were kind of like the pioneers of the handmade soap business in Ireland.
Did you start in the kitchen or the garage, or where did it all start?
It started in Scariff, in a very small cottage, in a back kitchen, a very small back kitchen. I remember one day we were on the way into Limerick for something, and Kathy was driving, but I had to keep stirring the batch all the way into Limerick and all the way back out again to get it to, you have to get it to saponify. And that was what we were trying to achieve. But that was the first, that was the early days. But we've come a long way since then now.
From the kitchen then, and from all the research you were doing, realising you could probably make a good go of this from a business perspective, what was the next step then?
The next step was we did Showcase. And from Showcase Ireland we had a lot of inquiries from American companies, but to be honest, we weren't prepared for what the interest in the product, first of all, because it was very unusual. So we weren't prepared. We then worked hell for leather ourselves, really, just building the products. We had a very, very limited range of product at the time. We used to put it in a very small cardboard box that we used to get made locally, and it had a little tiny scroll with it, giving a little bit of information. Very artisan done, and it was all hand stamped. That was Galunock. We kind of built, and over the years, after doing showcases and lots of exhibitions, we did the Christmas craft fairs up in Dublin at the RDS. It just became a name. It just grew, and before we knew it, we were exporting pallets of soap to America.
How big an operation is it now?
Interesting. In the early days, it was just myself, Kathy. We employed a few part-time people to help us with the packaging. Then in 2008, when the crash happened, the end of the Celtic Tiger days, we decided to move on. Decided we'd invested enough into the business, decided we'd move it on and we'd maybe take it a little bit easier. We had a daughter with special needs, and we thought we'd spend a bit more time just sort of concentrating on family life, more important things like the family, because we'd spent an awful lot of time in building a business. So that's what happened. So we kind of took a sabbatical then, took care of the family. And then back in 2014, Kathy just had this inkling to start again, just as more as a hobby, not as a business, as a hobby. And again, it sprouted wings, and before we know it, here we are now. It started in the utility room, to the kitchen, took over half the kitchen. Then we built a small workshop out the back of the house, which is now a huge workshop at the back of the house. And we now have a small unit up in Tumgraney in the business park as well, where we do most of our packaging, and all our raw materials are stored there as well.
What technology is required to produce soap?
Workshop-wise, believe it or not, we're still quite basic, Pat. We still pour everything by hand. Everything is mixed by hand. It's all stirred by hand. There's no great technology involved in the actual soap-making process itself. There's a lot of more technology involved in the background, you know, in the office, in the admin side of things, in the accounting side of things, but actual making the soap, very, very little. It's mostly elbow grease and manual labour.
And what about the raw materials? Exactly what are you using? What makes up a barrel of soap?
Lovely combination at the moment. Obviously, we don't use any palm oil, which is, in the early days, we did use palm oil. Palm oil was hailed. It still is a great oil. It's a great oil. It's just the methods they're using at the moment now to produce it is, that's what we're against. So we use a cross of coconut oil, sunflower oil, olive oil. We use shea butter. We use cocoa butter. Lots of pure vegetable oils. And then obviously it's scented with pure essential oils as well.
How do you decide who has the nose for it? Who is picking the scents?
That would be Kathy, my partner, 32 years now. She just had this ability now to pick up scents. She's got a very keen nose. So she picks up scents, and she just has this natural ability to blend scents and come up with some great combinations. So basically that's all down to Kathy. Kathy would be classed as the soap maker. Kathy comes up constantly with new recipes, which she's constantly trying. She'll make up a small batch with a certain recipe, we'll send it out to customers and just work off feedback from that before she'll go any further and see if it's worth pursuing. And that's how it's kind of changed over the years. We've just developed.
And what about your market then? Who exactly are you aiming at, and who exactly is looking for your product?
That's very interesting. Our market, we found in these very strange times, we did initially concentrate, it was an awful lot on gift shops, the tourist industry. That would have been one of the main customers. Then the health food shops got wind of it. We then supplied the local health food shops initially. Then it kind of spread out a little bit further. We attended a few health fairs, a couple up in the RDS, and the word got out then. And now we probably supply, I'd say 90 to 95% of the health food stores throughout Ireland. And up until last year, we were doing an awful lot of the gift shops. Then obviously we lost all the gift shops, but in the place of the gift shops is all these small online businesses which have started up. Our soap is ending up in the most bizarre places. We have inquiries last week from a wine maker, a butcher's, of all things. I mean, it's a vegan product, but butcher's made an inquiry, and a tile depot. So, it could basically end up anywhere.
For anyone who would be interested in knowing how their soap is made, or how artisan soap in particular is made, Tony, give us an idea of the process.
It's called saponification. We use a method called the cold process method, which is you use very, very low energy. All you need really is the energy just to warm. If you have a coconut oil in your hand, and your body heat will melt coconut oil, that's the temperature we need. Around about 26 degrees will melt coconut oil. So you melt all the oils together, you pour them into a big vat, you blend them all together with a base, give them a good stir by hand, and it'll start to trace. When it starts to trace, then you add your pure essential oils and any botanicals that you're putting into the mix. You stir it again for about another 5 minutes, and then it's poured into individual molds, stacked, and it's incubated overnight for about, I'd say, about 12 hours incubation period. Next morning, then it's normally tipped out. It's cut into small slabs, and it's all hand-stamped. Each bar is individually hand-stamped and individually batch-coded as well.
How important, Tony, is the hand-stamping to you guys, and what information is provided in the stamp?
Well, the reason behind the hand-stamping, first of all, is been a sustainable company. We're concentrating on zero waste. So we're trying to reduce our packaging. By reducing our packaging, we're removing any outer packaging. So we sell our soap kind of naked. It sits in a cardboard CDU, counter display unit, in the shops mostly. And so the information provided is individually stamped on each bar. So you'll have the name of the soap on each individual bar. You'll have the, obviously, our name. And then you'll have an individual batch code. And the batch code will then determine the best before date. And it's entered into our log as the code for the date on that soap when it was made. Just for traceability, really.
A best before date for soap sounds unusual.
It is unusual because soap won't actually go out of date. We've got soaps now we made in 1996 originally. They're still perfectly usable. They oxidise a little. So they go, they're not as attractive as they once were, but they still work perfectly well. But we are regulated by the Health Products Regulatory Authority, the HPRA, and they do insist on having an expiry date or best before date for any products on the shelf.
Well, soaps generally will last forever. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Kathy and Tony have made a conscious decision not to use palm oil in their production process. Why is this, and how important is the sustainability and green ethos to their business?
Very important part, yeah. Yeah. I mean, even going back now to the early days when we were looking at packaging ideas for packaging the product, there was lots of... We actually went to one company who said, oh, just put it in a little plastic bag. But we were totally against any form of plastic packaging. And it's just something we sort of, it's a passion of ours. We're trying to reduce waste. There's too much waste in the world now. So we're intent on keeping our packaging to a bare minimum at the moment. That's one of our ethos. The whole ethos regarding palm oil, as I said earlier, palm oil is a fabulous oil. It really is a beautiful oil to work with. It's fabulous. It's just the production methods at the moment now. They're clearing swathes of beautiful rainforest to put these palm oil plantations in because they're very economically viable. There's a lot of money at stake there.
And Tony, apart from the soap, what other products then are made? Presumably not just soap?
No, not just soap. No, it was primarily soap. And soap is the, obviously the main... our main product we do produce, but Kathy has started developing a soap-based shampoo bar, which is it's a fabulous, fabulous bar. It's Kathy, when she makes that now, she strains herbs. She soaks herbs down for days, comfrey, chamomile, and she'll strain them off, and they'll be added into the shampoo bars. We developed a deodorant bar, which is a solid deodorant bar, so there's no need for any, there's no aluminium, no plastic packaging. It's literally a solid bar you can carry around in your own little round little pack if you want, or I carry mine in a little paper bag, and it works equally well. Lots of cocoa butter in that. What we've done initially, we did small trial batches. Kathy experimented with several different recipes. There was lots of that. Then Kathy added her own twist to it, sent them out to potential customers to get the feedback, analyse the feedback. There's three different types. The first bar was a herbal one, which was a heart-shaped deodorant bar, which was great, but we did find that it was more aimed at the female market. And then we realised actually lads would want to use this as well. So we developed what we call a sport bar, which is a round bar. It's stamped up. It looks almost like a football. So we do a nude deodorant bar, which is an unscented bar. It doesn't have any essential oil in whatsoever. Particularly handy for those who are post or pre-operative for any breast surgeries, or in fact for nursing mothers, where they shouldn't be using essential oils at all.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear more about palm-free Irish soap in Tuamgraney and meet two young Ennis mothers who fulfilled their childhood dream by starting their own business.
Atlantic Tales on Clare FM, in association with Nolo Loughlin Insurance Services, for all your general insurance and life assurance needs. Call Noel 086 845 9912. Visit o'loughlinfinancial.ie.
Welcome back to the programme. Kathy and Tony Hoynes operate Palm Free Irish Soap, a small family business with a strong commitment to sustainability and zero waste. How has the company been affected by the global pandemic and Brexit?
It's affected it now in two ways. The negative effect, first of all, was during the early days when we seen gift shop after gift shop closing down on us. Quite worrying at the time. The first couple of weeks was very, very quiet for us. I'll say it again now, Kathy's not one for sitting still, so she decided to start doing her little bit to help. So she said, we'll produce some soap bars and we'll hand them out to frontline workers and care staff. So Kathy started a process and we ended up producing 40,000 what we called cleansing bars, which is a lavender and tea tree based soap. Basically, it gives people an alternative to using sanitizers, hand sanitizers. Did those, we handed those out to lots of frontline workers, ambulance stations. We had a small lull in business, but then we all of a sudden, the health food shops then started ordering even more product because the health food shops were still allowed to stay open. They were ordering more product. We had a different customer. Our online sales then started going through the roof, and we just found people were changing, and it was a different customer base. As I said, you know, the likes of a tile shop approaching us now and we're just waiting now for hopefully this year now the gift shops will start to open again now. We'll have some sort of a tourist market as well.
And how important has the online business and your online presence been?
Exceptionally important, yeah. Yeah, we didn't realise how important it was until maybe the start of the pandemic and realise how much traffic is actually diverted in through a website and how many people look at a website and will purchase from a website. Yeah, we're very, very happy. Which is, incidentally, it's palmfree.ie is the website. Give a little.
And is it truly the quiet life you expected when you moved over from Luton?
Absolutely. Not now, anyway. No. I say this, last year, we expected to be a quiet year, but we've literally, our turnover has increased year on year. And we weren't expecting it. We really weren't expecting it. We've come to a stage now where there's eight of us now working in the business. And the way things are going, we're looking to expand again. And as I say, Kathy has new products that she's working on and she's just dying to bring to market. But at the moment, we're inundated with requests for soap.
Aside from the effects of the pandemic on businesses generally, Tony, and your own business, of course, as well, although in some ways there's been a silver lining for you, but Brexit, how has Brexit affected your business?
It's affected our business more than we thought. There's pros and cons to Brexit for us. Raw materials were normally sourced through the UK. Our packaging, where we do use it, was all manufactured and printed in the UK. Now, with Brexit being imminent, we had to look elsewhere, which in turn, we then started looking at the local market here in Ireland. And we found, by Brexit being implemented and for all the trouble it's caused, we've now found that we're now buying more local in using Irish producers, and they're out there. We didn't realise they were. We did a lot of searching around. We found people in Ireland who could do the same job equally as well. Price point may be slightly more expensive, but it's a home market and it's really worked for us. A lot of our raw ingredients that we used to get through the UK were only land bridged anyway. So we've made alternative arrangements and we now get them direct from Europe.
No more than the pandemic, pros and cons of
pros,
Brexit?
Yeah. I mean, the local market, it's made us look local. Also, we found with Brexit, we're now supplying a more local home market. It's a more domestic market now as well.
Like many businesses, the Hoynes sought support from the local enterprise office in Clare to help with expanding their operation. How important is working with an agency like Clare Leo for the company?
Yeah, we're very lucky now. We've worked with our local enterprise office here, and then they've been very forthcoming. In 2018, we were looking to expand a business. We approached the local enterprise office. They stepped up to the mark and they helped us out. Enabled us to expand, to take on a new unit, to fit it out and to take on more employees as well, which helped at the end of the day.
From Tuam Graney, we travelled to Ennis to meet childhood friends Chantelle Keane and Danielle Kennelly, who co-founded Wicks and Wax Ireland in 2020 in the midst of a global pandemic. As teenagers, they had aspirations of becoming successful business owners and had toyed with several ideas over the years. Last year, they decided to turn their passion for candles and home fragrances into a business. And despite the challenges of public health restrictions and Brexit, the company is going from strength to strength. Danielle began by telling me how it all came about.
We've talked about it since we were teenagers. We've had ideas over the years, but nothing ever stuck in our minds as much as this. And just last summer when we were in the lockdown, I was on maternity leave, and once we were finally allowed to start the garden visits,
that's when it
just came to us.
Yeah, it all fell into place then.
Yeah.
So when you were younger, you toyed with the idea of having your own business.
Yeah, but we just never knew what that business would be.
We always knew we just wanted to work together. But then this just, I suppose, our love for, we always had a love for candles and wax melts and for our home smelling nice as well.
So our passion for that just kind of came through with this idea, and it just took off, and we haven't looked back since. We've both just left our job, so we're working full time for Wicks and Wax now, and it's just amazing. Like, we never thought this time last year, which was when the idea started really, that we would be self-employed in less than a year. Like,
Leaving your own jobs, that's a huge step, isn't it?
Huge.
Very big step. I suppose because we're both mothers as well, it's not just us we're responsible for. We both have kids to think about, but I don't think we ever would have considered leaving our jobs if it hadn't gone so well for us.
Absolutely. Like, we never anticipated that after Christmas that we would be self-employed. Do you know, we never thought it would go that well for us. Like, and thankfully it has, and it's just grown from strength to strength for us.
And we have great support in the customer base that we have in Clare. We've got a lot of very loyal local customers, and then even on our online store throughout the country, we have some very loyal customers as well. And obviously, without our customers, we wouldn't be where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very thankful for them.
You've researched it yourself, obviously. You have a love of it, which of course is very, very important. But where do you go to get support and advice as well?
I think we did it a little bit backwards, to be honest. We just went into it kind of, we did our research, but we never really looked for that kind of support until it was mentioned to us after our business had already started. And then we went looking to the Leo.
Yeah, we did. I suppose for us, the main thing when we started was, the hardest thing for us was thinking of a name.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's what we thought was the hardest thing at the start. And then it was, we were trying to do the website. So we did the website ourselves as well. And that was pretty tough. Like, we never anticipated how hard that was going to be. And once it was all launched, we were delighted. And then we heard, oh, why don't you go to the Leo? And we have had so much help from mentors there now since we have launched.
But only in the last few months, really.
Yeah.
And we've nearly been in business a year or so. It's just something we didn't think of really ourselves, but like that, we had people mention it to us, and they have been really helpful.
But starting a business in the middle of a global pandemic.
How
many times have you been asked, are you mad?
Yeah, we have been asked, and I don't know what we were thinking either, to be honest.
We were only saying it yesterday, like, how did we start that? We had, like, amongst the global pandemic, we had a lot going on ourselves, like being mothers. We were both still working.
I was on maternity leave, like, my little man was only 3 months old at the time, so I've no idea what we were thinking, but we just did it. And I suppose if we can do it in a hard time like that, you know, when can we do it, you know? So it's,
was it anything to do with the fact that during the pandemic there's so much more online shopping? Did you see a market there? Was that something that you considered?
I don't think it was something that we considered. Maybe an aspect of it was that we knew people were going to be at home a lot, and that really helped our business grow, was the fact that people were at home, which is where people use our products. So that helped us in a way.
Where did Danielle and Chantelle first start working with wax and begin to make candles and other products?
It definitely started in our kitchens. So first of all, it started actually out our back gardens, socially distancing, thinking of ideas. And then eventually when we were able to go into our houses, we did a course online, and then it grew from there. We actually kicked Danielle's partner out of his home gym, and that became our first HQ. Our kids, we've always said now, Danielle's son, he's only one now, but he grew up in a candle factory. Like, there was boxes everywhere. Like, we never thought we needed as much space. I think the first idea I had is, like, I'll store everything under my stairs. That was never going to happen.
No.
Like, do you know, we've had to come here, and now we have our factory, like, so it's great.
And how did that come about? How did you find this premises?
It was actually random enough. We first of all came here looking for storage. And Tony mentioned that there was another unit free, which was actually used for storage as well. But once we saw it, we were like, this is it. This is where our factory is going to be. And we now call it HQ. So we've turned it from our, well, it is still our factory. So we manufacture everything here. We've now a little shop out the front, which will be open again this month. We only got a couple of weeks in December where we were open. But this month now we'll be able to open back up to the public again, which is great. When we first started, our presence was predominantly online. So our social media and our website was majorly important. I don't think that we would have been recognised as much as we were online if it wasn't for certain PR packages that we sent to influencers. That was a major help for us in the beginning. So really quite important. Like, we've grown our social media following to nearly 7,000 followers on Instagram in that short space of time that we're in business. So it's been immense in promoting us. People do love to see the face behind the name. It makes it very personal for our customers, especially at a time where we weren't able to open and that we were just online. So it was nice for them to see us doing our daily bits and pieces.
Yeah.
What exactly then are you producing? Are you making?
So we are a home fragrance company. So at the moment, we've a range of products. We make wax melts in the form of snap bars, brittle wax. We also have a range of candles out at the moment. And now we've launched our room sprays. So hopefully down the line, we've big plans for more things to come along.
What about the raw materials? Where do you source your raw materials for? What's your main raw material?
The main one would be our wax, I suppose, and our materials for fragrance and all our products.
And where are they coming from then?
A variety of Europe and the UK. So we did initially try and source from Ireland, but you just can't find a lot of the stuff that we need in Ireland, unfortunately. But we do source anything else that we can locally. So all our packaging comes from local suppliers. The only thing we can source locally, but we do get it as local as possible. And we try to make it as sustainable as possible. So
yes,
it's recyclable, it's a recycled material, it's biodegradable. So we are kind of conscious in that kind of regard that everything is as sustainable as possible.
Our products are soy-based and they're cruelty-free and vegan-friendly, which is so important to people nowadays.
What would a regular day be?
I suppose now it's quite nice for us to have time to bring our children to school or daycare, which wasn't something we always had time for. So we kind of, we have that time with our kids in the morning, come to work, we'll work on online orders, we'll work on manufacturing, our social media, so our photography, we do all that ourselves. So there's pretty much a little bit of everything and all the boring things like paying bills and accounting and stuff like that as well. So we pretty much do it all, the two of us.
And it's always important, of course, to get the company name right. How did you come up with the name? It sounds like a pair of nicknames. Are they nicknames?
I suppose they are now. They weren't when we first began. We came up with loads of different names, and it was actually out Danielle's back garden having a glass of Prosecco that Danielle came up with, said the name Wicks and Wax. And I'd actually drew a logo of two W's, but I'd no name yet. And like at home, like not being together. And it was just mad how it fell into place. Like, we had another name that we loved and we'd done logos with it and thought of that. And then Danielle said that, and I was like, look at my copy. I wrote two W's, one on top of the other, and we'd never even said it before.
No.
Like,
that was fate.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear more about Wicks and Wax and the co-founders who established a business in the midst of a global pandemic and Brexit.
Atlantic Tales on Clare FM, in association with Nolo Loughlin Insurance Services, for all your general insurance and life assurance needs. Call Noel 086 845 9912. Visit o'loughlinfinancial.ie.
Welcome back to Atlantic Tales. Childhood friends Danielle Kennelly and Chantelle Keane co-founded Wicks and Wax Ireland in 2020 in the midst of a global pandemic. As teenagers, they always dreamt of setting up their own business, so last year they did just that. Danielle and Chantelle told me more about their company HQ and the production process.
So I suppose if we start at the door, we have our little shop area. And our front desk, we've got our packing station where we do all our online orders, and then we move into the production side. So on the production side of our warehouse, we have our wax melters. So we've got three big wax melters that hold about 30 or 40 litres of wax each. We have a couple of different wax types depending on the product we're making, and then we've got all our raw materials for fragrancing as well. And then we have what we call our pouring tables, which is where the wax gets poured into its moulds, the candle jars, or the room sprays, and that get poured as well.
The wax gets very, very hot.
No, not hot. It doesn't normally go past 90 degrees.
That's hot. So from the melting then to the, do you use moulds or how does that work in terms of the production side of it?
We do. So our snap bars are, we have moulds that, they're basically just little bars so you can snap the pieces off. We've got big trays for our brittle wax, which is basically just broken pieces of wax. So it gets poured on one big tray and then it just gets broken into pieces, basically. And then we have our jars for our candles, so they're poured directly into the jars.
And what about the scents? What about the beautiful smells? Where do you get that and what form do they come in? Is it oil or...?
They are oils. They can be a mixture of essential oils, other raw materials. So it really depends. We get them from a lot of different places.
So it's not just about a nice smell. When you say essential oils, it's for relaxing, it's for maybe helping your well-being or your wellness. Is that part of the business as well?
It is. It's probably one of the biggest aspects of our business is that it creates that cozy, warm, cuddly environment. And we often get our customers tell us that like the highlight of their evening, especially after a long hard week, is coming home, popping on their wax melt or their candle and just sitting down, chilling out with a glass of wine. And it's some people's ultimate evening. Like, that's our ultimate evening. But we love that we get to create that ultimate evening for other people as well.
Do people come to you with ideas for products that they would like you to make for them?
They have. So we do bespoke products. So for a number of companies in Clare and nationwide now, we have done bespoke products. So for some, we've done snap bars for them. We've done candles for other companies. And it is a lovely process to work, especially with other local and Irish companies, that we get to create that for their business. So for some in Clare, we've done snap bars and they're just absolutely thrilled. And during lockdown, it was a great way for them to be able to, I suppose, when they weren't open, to make money as well, that they were able to sell their product during lockdown.
While Danielle and Chantelle had set up their business before seeking outside support, how important has that assistance proven to be to them since?
Oh, it is. It's very important. And I suppose for myself and Danielle, we probably should have looked at it sooner. We probably should have done these courses when we were in the talks of setting up. Like, we didn't know. And since we now know about them, like, I would definitely encourage anyone who is thinking of setting up a business to go to the local enterprise and do them courses, because they are there to help and they will help. And they are very, I suppose, great at getting back to us and kind of things like that. And if there is anything coming up, maybe that suits our business, or there might be, like, they'll get in contact with us and tell us then about that.
For two young women, two young mums setting up their own business, this was a dream of yours for many, many years. Would you recommend to somebody else who has an idea, who has had a dream for many years, to follow their dream? It's not easy to start up like that.
Oh, it definitely is not. I suppose for both of us, we were still working. We're both mothers, so like it was a lot of late nights for us at the start. Like, and our dream was to be self-employed, and it actually is. We are self-employed now, and we are able to have flexible hours, have more family time, and we don't have to have the late nights anymore, which is fantastic, like, which we never would have thought of. So I'm so glad that we did take the leap and try it, like, and we're very lucky that it went so well for us.
Having had their movements severely restricted by successive lockdowns, Danielle and Chantelle haven't been able to get out and about to meet clients. Social media, however, has helped get their name and products to a wide audience of potential customers, but they've also featured in magazine and newspaper articles, while a TV appearance is already in the pipeline.
So from the get-go, social media has been our number one source of marketing. So at the beginning, and even now, we do still send off what we call PR packages to certain influencers, and they've brought us a tremendous amount of business. So we have actually collaborated with an influencer. She's from Tipperary. We've launched a product that we made with her. So the product is named after her. It's called Amy, and she promotes the product for us, which is really important. Obviously, we don't just get sales of her product, but when she brings customers in, they also buy other things. So it's very lucrative for us so far. In regards to RTE, which hopefully should be airing this month, she contacted us. So for us, it wasn't even about getting ourselves out there.
What does the future hold for Wix and Wax? Do Chantelle and Danielle have plans for the future?
We do have plans for the future, yeah. We're always thinking about the next way to expand or the next product that we can bring to our customers. I suppose in terms of expanding the business, we are always looking for new companies to wholesale with us. So we have quite a few in Clare at the moment, and we're looking to broaden our field. So we do have one in Dublin and one in Donegal, and it would be nice to get another few counties on board in regards to the wholesale aspect. And then with our products, we do have quite a few products planned for this year alone. I suppose at the moment we're up to Christmas and we're at the stage now where we know we have to think that far in advance, whereas this time last year we were only planning Christmas in October, which was very short notice. But we know these things now. This is all things that you just learn through the everyday today business kind of thing. So yeah, we've our Christmas planned, and beyond that we haven't looked at yet, but we know we'll have to start looking at January quite soon as well. So once we're allowed and the travel bans are lifted, we would like to go and see, I suppose, even just the places where we're stocked at the moment and go and meet our current clients. You know, building rapport with those is just as important as building rapport with our direct customers. So it would be nice to get out and see them and our bespoke clients as well. It would be nice to be able to meet those face to face. So we're hoping to be able to do that soon. And yeah, if time allows, I suppose we would like to be able to go on the road and meet potential business customers as well.
Have you realised yet, given how busy you were during the pandemic, setting up during the pandemic, have you any idea what it's going to be like when the world is let loose again?
I don't think we do. Obviously, the economy will have started rebooting by then, so I'm sure there'll be a little uptake in revenue and things like that for us. But I think we're prepared because we're both now dedicated full time. We'll have the time if we do get that little spike in business. So the best thing that I suppose will come out of opening back up is that we'll finally get to meet a lot of our customers, which, because we were online before this, we didn't get a chance to do. So we are looking forward to meeting our loyal customers and having people pop up, you know, to smell the new scents that they mightn't have already. Even just getting family and friends come in to smell some of our new scents, we can see their reactions. So we're very excited to see our customer reactions to all our new products as well.
In 2018, Danielle's teenage brother Jack died with his friend Shay in a drowning tragedy. In recent weeks, Danielle and Chantelle have been working closely with Water Safety Ireland in an effort to create awareness about water safety, especially coming into the summer. For the month of May, the budding entrepreneurs will donate the profits from one of their special products to Water Safety Ireland, as Danielle explains.
My brother, who was 15, Jack, he passed away in May 2018. So this year will be his third anniversary. So for the month of May, we want to, first of all, I suppose, fundraise, but predominantly, we want to create awareness around water safety. We're coming into a time of year where the weather is better. Not everybody can access places where there might be lifeguards, so it does create a want to swim in unsafe places. So we want to just spread the awareness that swimming in an unsafe place can be life-threatening. You know, it can be so dangerous and it can result in the loss of your life. So we want to make sure that that doesn't happen to any other people. Like, we'd like to spare the grief that me and my family went through. If we can even just save that from happening to one other person, that will be our goal made, you know. If it makes someone think twice about swimming in a quarry or a lake where there's no lifeguards and nobody nearby that can help you if you get in trouble, then that's our goal reached. So we have a scent in our snap bars called Daisy. The Daisy bar is normally yellow, but for the month of May, we've decided to turn it blue just to kind of, I suppose, get the water aspect in there. And the reason we chose the Daisy scent is Jack used to actually keep a little Daisy in the back of his phone. So it has a special significance with me and my family. It's just kind of something that we've held on to since he passed, and it does bring us a little bit of comfort and it kind of reminds us of him daily. So that's the reason we chose Daisy. And for the whole month of May, we will be donating all the profits for every Daisy snap bar sold in the month of May directly to Water Safety Ireland.
Goodbye, Norma Jean. No, I never knew you at all. You had the grace to hold yourself with those around you crawl. They crawled out of the woodwork and they whispered into your brain. They set you on the treadmill and they made you change your name.